Eye on the Arctic. Views from the North, I'm Elise Quinn. Now this week, Canada's federal government made a $69 million funding announcement to improve mental health services in Indigenous communities. Now, the announcement comes after a year of grim headlines highlighting the suicide epidemic in the Aboriginal community of Attawapiskat in northern Ontario and places like Nunavik, the Inuit self-governing region in North Quebec. Now, joining us today to tell us what the funding announcement might mean for Inuit in Canada's remote northern communities is Natan Obed. He's the president of Inuit Taparik Kanatomi, and that's Canada's national Inuit organization. He joins me on the line today from Ottawa. Natan Obed, hello.
Good morning.
Now, first, give us ITK's general reaction to this announcement in the wake of everything we've been hearing about this year.
I'm appreciative of the response from the federal government. The funding is in some ways secondary to the language in which the federal government has used to announce this new funding. And it's a departure from previous funding announcements, which were largely prescriptive and largely predicated on the federal government deciding to do things for Indigenous communities. We are in a new era, a renewed Inuit to Crown relationship for Inuit, and there's language in there that allows for us, as representatives of Inuit at the national level, to work with the federal government to create interventions or funding streams that are consistent with the way that we want to prevent suicide, not necessarily the way that Canada would like to prevent suicide for us.
Talk to us a little bit about the language and what is specifically resonated with you to really indicate to you that we're at sort of at a new space in terms of how Inuit and the Crown will be interacting on these issues.
We have broad social inequity in Inuit Nunavut, the homeland of Inuit in Canada. Whether it be education, housing, poverty, there are things that just we've had to live with for generations now, and there hasn't been a broad government response in partnership with Inuit. What we've talked about in relation to suicide prevention is that we want globally informed but Inuit-specific measures to prevent suicide, and that In the past, government has been unwilling to think of Indigenous or Inuit suicide in the same way that it thinks about other public health issues. And so it was almost in a corner by itself that was almost our problem and our problem alone. But with this new announcement and with the ongoing discussions that we are having with Health Canada, it seems as though we've turned a very significant corner, where now we can work together through evidence, but also design interventions based on the specific realities of suicide and suicide prevention in our communities.
Could you outline for us a little bit about what the most pressing mental health needs are in Canada's Inuit communities, many that are located in remote Arctic regions?
Yes. There are 53 Inuit communities in Canada, and most of them have populations around or less than 1,000. So very small, very remote communities. Just about all of our communities are fly-in only in the winter, and very limited sea access in the summer. We have a lack of systematic care in relation to mental health services. There are a small patchwork of services, and much of those services are not provided in an Inuit-specific way or in the language of choice of the person who's trying to get help. So our most immediate concern is the very basic lack of access to mental health services. And we see that because through many different ways, but there's only one drug abuse and alcohol treatment center in our vast Inuit region that comprises over 30% of Canada's landmass. people often have to fly thousands of kilometers just to be able to receive basic levels of service. And if there's any inpatient care treatment at all for any mental health issues, we have to go outside of our regions to get that in all cases, but in northern Quebec, in Nunavik. So first and foremost, it's the lack of access to care. And then second, we have such broad trauma that's societal that stems from the first interactions that we had with our colonizers and the structures that our colonizers put in place and the huge changes that happened in Inuit society, mostly between the 1950s and 1960s, that people have never been able to heal from. And then the dysfunction that has been passed down through generations, where it has really made it difficult for people to be able to seize opportunities and live healthy lives with very good mental health.
What has ITK been told at this point about how the funding is going to be distributed and whether Inuit or Arctic-specific concerns are going to be addressed? We do hear sometimes that when these kind of announcements are made, Inuit get lumped into First Nations. What have you been told about any sort of Inuit-specific aspects that this will be considering?
Yeah. The majority of this $69 million fund, it will be for First Nations, and I would imagine primarily First Nations on reserve. It is a relationship that is very different than the relationship between Inuit and the federal government. We have different types of treaties, modern land claim agreements, and we live within public government jurisdictions. We don't live on reserves and are only cared for by, in many ways, by the federal government, which is the model that sort of steps outside of provinces and territories. So we are in a different reality, which means we have to shape different interventions. And we've talked to the federal government about this concern, and they've listened to us. So between now and the release of our National Inuit Suicide Prevention Strategy, which is going to be on July 27th, we are working on a day-to-day basis with Health Canada and with the federal government to ensure that there will be funds that will be Inuit-specific that will allow for the implementation of the National Inuit Suicide Prevention Strategy. And our strategy is very holistic. It touches on a number of larger social determinants of health, and also then gets into the specific of an Inuit continuum of mental wellness services. So we're hoping that over the next month and a half or so, we'll be able to craft Inuit-specific funding allocations that then will show Canadians and show Inuit that we are in a new era and that Inuit will be respected in the way in which funds are announced and funding flows to meet this crisis that very rightly the federal government has responded to.
And we will definitely be checking back in with you in July for more on that. Nobed, thank you so much for your time today.
You're welcome. It's been great to talk.